Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome back. That hour went by incredibly, incredibly fast, quickly. But we're glad you're here, and we've got one line open, so if you've got a question for Dr. Mixon today, call us at 1-800-465-8770. One thing, if you missed the first 15 minutes of Leading Edge Medicine this morning, you missed the fact that each one of us has 40 trillion bacteria in our bodies right now. 40 trillion.
And 10 times that many viruses.
That's just crazy.
400 trillion viruses if you're healthy and don't have a viral infection.
So those boogeymen bacteria and viruses are not out there.
They're inside of
us. They're inside us.
All the time. And we influence them, by our diet, our exercise or sedentary lifestyle. The weather outside, your emotional state, how much anti-inflammation or anti-inflammatory products are you producing? Those bacteria and viruses are kicking out metabolic byproducts, and we absorb them from our gut into our bloodstream, and they become part of us, and we influence their growth and development too. So it's actually, we call it a saprophytic relationship. They benefit from us because they grow in us and we benefit from them. And, so it's a two-way street.
It is amazing. And
the thing people don't realize is like when something like the coronavirus comes out, it infects people and your immune system starts attacking the virus and it alters the virus, and the virus that you blow out and to infect other people with is not quite the same virus that came in. Because you are altering it. And as that virus goes through millions of people in the human race, it is being changed. It's being changed by the people it infects, because every human being's immune system is altering and attacking, and the virus is having to adapt to those people. And so over time, viruses tend, as a rule, to start out quite lethal. And over time, they become less and less and less dangerous because they are being altered by us. Just as we are being attacked and damaged by them, they are being altered by us. And humans and viruses tend to come to an accommodation eventually. So, and coronavirus is now showing the sorts of mutations I'm talking about. Many of the latest strains of this virus are quite different in many respects from the original strains that invaded us.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. Amazing, amazing stuff. All right, let's just get back to taking some calls, shall we? Let us go to Seattle and talk to Rick. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the program.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can indeed.
You bet.
Okay. I'm not an expert, but I wanted to get some your judgment about something. I have a couple, at least two, maybe three compression bone fractures in my lower back. Mm-hmm. And I'm told that sometimes your own body can heal them.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for the body to heal them. And that's what I opted to do.
Okay.
Now, in this process, it's extremely painful because I'm living with a pain in my back and hoping each day that it will get better as the bones heal. But I have to admit that there are times when I want to throw in the towel and say to the doctor, do whatever you can to relieve the pain.
Sure.
And to mitigate the bone, the compression bone fractures. And my question is, what do you think about the various methods that doctors can use to fix up those bone fractures?
Okay. Are these vertebral fractures? Are these vertebrae that are collapsing on you? In your backbone?
I'm not sure about that.
Well,
they don't affect nerves coming out of my back. In other words, I don't have pain down my rear end or anything. It's just
But it is in your back. Okay, so we aren't talking about your foot or your knee or something. All right.
No, just in my lower back. I say that it's especially the hardest thing I have to do is get up in the morning, stand on my feet, and stand straight up. When that happens, it is really painful in my back.
Okay. Yeah, and that's not unusual, really. Here's what's happening to you. As you have aged, your testosterone level has dropped, your dehydroepiandrosterone level has dropped, and so the osteoblasts that make new bone have become less and less active. And so those bones have started thinning out. And so the vertebral bodies get weaker as you're laying less new bone down in them over time. And simply the weight of your upper body pressing down on that lower back, eventually can cause one of these vertebrae to just collapse down on itself. Now, given time, they do generally heal. Here's the problem. It's not going to uncollapse. It heals in its new position. Okay. When it collapsed, it altered its position. It's not where it used to be now. It's thinner. And you will heal and repair it in that new position. To the extent that that new position causes problems with nerve compression or inflammatory changes, you will continue to have some disability. That process can be sped up with some medications and hormone manipulations, or there are some surgical interventions that can be done.
In fact, I've got Dr. Nelson on the line right now.
Good, because what you really want to do right now is control the pain. You know, the bones are going to heal over time, but because of your age, they're going to heal much slower than they would if you were 20.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's let Dr. Nelson talk to you about your pain, because he's apparently heard your call and called in.
Dan, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Oh, good. Dan, you're talking with Rick here, and everybody is listening. Maybe you can respond. I'm glad you were listening to the show this morning.
Yeah. Well, Rick, hey, that's a challenging problem with those compression fractures, and we see this a fair amount at my clinic. Very disabling, and sometimes it's some of the worst pain that we see, especially in your age group. We have a procedure, you know, we tend to treat people conservatively, but sometimes you just got to bite the bullet. Well, there is a very elegant procedure called percutaneous kyphoplasty, where with a needle we can put bone cement into the fracture and stabilize it, and it can be miraculous. I mean, I've had patients who are in 9 out of 10 pain, and immediately after the procedure, they're practically pain-free. So, and there's implications of long-term pain. There are studies show that untreated vertebral compression fracture pain can have long-term effects on mortality. There's one, I forget which one, but there's a number of them. Before, during the Obama administration, they were talking about, well, we're treating too many of these. When now the studies have clearly come out in favor of going ahead and treating it if the pain is incapacitating.
The problem with long-term pain, too, is that long-term pain alters your endocrine response. And so cortisol levels rise dramatically, and those high cortisol levels accelerate bone thinning. They accelerate atherosclerotic change. They accelerate cataract formation in your eyes. I mean, high levels of chronic cortisol production in response to pain is terribly destructive. So
it's not benign. Chronic pain is not a benign process at all. You're absolutely right, Dr. Mixon.
So actually dealing with pain, we've talked about this before, dealing with pain is really critical.
Yes,
it's not just
is.
So that you can get out of pain, it's so that you can actually improve your lifespan, all sorts of stuff.
Well, yeah, and when you hurt all the time, you can't sleep either. And sleep deprivation is destructive in and of itself.
There's a whole new gamut of problems.
So it's a cascade of problems.
Yeah.
So you know, to your question, will it eventually heal? Yes. Do you want to wait for it to eventually heal? That's a whole different question.
That's right. That's right. Obviously, Dan, Rick should be giving you a call, right? That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a situation where when I hear about this, if I get any inkling about somebody calling in with compression fractures and knowing how painful it is, we try to get those patients within the office within 24, 48 hours max. So just because the consequences and the suffering are just immense. And we have a very elegant way to treat it in most cases. So,
I'm glad you called in when you did, Dan. I was going to try to get you on later, but I'm glad I've got you now instead. The point I wanted to make to our listeners, even before Rick called, is if you're in pain, Dr. Dan Nelson is open for business.
Yes.
He's helping people right now.
Even our governor will permit you to see the doctor.
That's
Dan.
Right. Even our governor. Oh, my golly. So they can just call the, let me give out the number. Now, this is for Rick, of course. He's no longer on the line, but I'm sure he's listening. So not just for Rick, but for the rest of you who are struggling with those knee pains, the neck pain, the shoulder, the back, those kinds of things, you need to deal with it for a myriad of reasons, by calling and just making an appointment at 425-823-4000. I'm going to give it again because somebody I know is running to the kitchen right now to grab a pen. 425-823-4000. And get in there to see Dan. And I'm going in. Dan is helping me with my right knee. And Dan, just some of the battles that sometimes you go through. I got turned down by my insurance company, right, on my right knee. For the MRI, is that right?
That's correct, because they have gatekeepers that are, you know, keeping costs down even under the current circumstances. You would think that would go by the wayside,
and the gatekeeper's knee doesn't hurt. So
yeah,
so he doesn't think it's important
anyway. But you have hope that it's going to be resolved. There's a good chance.
Oh yeah. No, we it always gets resolved. You know, typically, what I end up having to do, what it's called, and Dr. Mixon knows about, a peer-to-peer conversation, which means I talk to another doctor. Usually the other doctor, even though he's supposed to be a peer, doesn't really know what I'm doing and what I'm talking about. So it's usually it's annoying, but hey, it's part of the game, and I understand that's healthy.
And the alternative is, Pete, that if your insurance doesn't believe your knee needs an MRI, but your doctor does, you go half a block from headquarters and across the street to CDI.
That's right.
And they'll do your MRI for about one-fifth the cost of the hospital.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have it. If they did turn me down forever, I hope that the insurance company doesn't hear this.
But the private imaging companies will do it at a tiny fraction of the cost of the hospital.
Interesting.
And we have one about, I don't know, 50 yards from where we're sitting
now. Oh, serious? I didn't know that.
So,
Anyway, Dan, I appreciate the fact that I'll be seeing you because I have to get this taken care of. It's golfing season, and I can't walk the course right now.
And I can't. And I will beat you about the head and shoulders if you ride a cart.
Okay.
So
anyway, so here we go. Dan, thank you so much for calling in. And again, for everybody else struggling with pain, don't put up with it. Don't worry. Dan keeps his place clean as a whistle. You don't have to worry about that. Give his office a call. Take care of it. Call 425-823-4000. Hey, say hi to Bernadette and have a good weekend, Dan.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Great show.
Sure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. All right. Well, boy, I'm so glad Dan was listening. Talk about a classy leading edge medicine. We got doctors on hold and ready to take your call.
We have an enormous number of physicians as patients at Longevity Medical.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, I think it's always kind of funny. You know, when I started this clinic 20 some years ago, 99% of the doctors in the state thought this was all voodoo. It's only about 10% that think it's bad. And the vast majority of physicians are accepting, and we now have an enormous number of physicians as patients.
Oh, yes.
So it's really kind of nice to be the clinic where the doctors go to their care.
And, so, Jerry, you're not exaggerating.
No, I'm not.
You're not exaggerating. People, doctors, and there's a few. I have a friend whose doctor calls you a voodoo doctor now today.
Sure. There's always going to be some people that don't read the literature.
Right. That's right. You know. Tradition is so important.
Tradition.
All right. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk with Betty from Snohomish. She has a question about a benign tumor. And then I think we've got Jennifer from Bellevue. She's got a question about should everyone or someone in particular about wearing a mask.
Okay,
so we'll talk a little bit about masks.
You know, on the way in this morning, I was listening to Topol sing Tradition. That's where
I'm going. Oh, really? Okay. Cool. Love that. Love that. Okay. We'll be right back. I've got to get rid of that ad. That's for sure. We're out of health analysis appointments. We apologize for the month of May. I didn't know that really until just a couple of days ago when it was too late to take the ad out of the show.
Filled up May and we're filling the first half of June.
Yeah, even the first half of June is mostly full, but we have 28, at least an hour and 20 minutes ago, we had 28 appointments is all for all three clinics. So what is that? That's like
nine
of our clinics and, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. That is not many. That's kind of a bummer, but it's still very good news for you if you go get one. And we are still honoring giving the two free tests when you get the free appointment, two free tests, which will help determine some of your basic health risks. First step to take, define the problem. If you don't measure, you don't know. You've heard us say it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But we also are giving away two free masks, and we're also giving you $100 worth of longevity supplements. I dare say super excellent, high quality, properly competitively priced supplements. So lots of reasons to grab one. The problem is those 28 appointments are in those first 2 weeks of June, and most of them in the second week of June, to be honest. Anyway, so go to our website, lmclinic.com, on a first-come, first-served basis. Go there and grab one. And it's yours. Grab two if you're married or you have a mate and you can come together. Grab two that are as close together as you can find them. And we encourage you to do that. There has never been a better time to start getting serious about your health. Go to lmclinic.com. I encourage you to do that. Okay. We have two lines open, by the way. I thought I'd tell you. So call us at 800-465-8770. We've got two people on hold. Two ladies. Let's start off with Betty from Snohomish. Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My situation is I have a benign tumor in my lung, and the surgeons have recommended for my middle right lobe to be removed in order to remove the tumor. It's benign tumor, and it's called pneumocytoma. It occurs in females, Asian background, and in their early 50s, which seems to have something to do with menopause when the change of life happens for women, and that's what the research shows. And I've had it for about 2 years. At least I've known about it for 2 years, my tumor. And I have a health analysis appointment next week. And so I'm wondering if the doctors there can have some other alternative besides removing part of my lung to take care of it. If there's some other way that either it could be treated, if there's a connection with menopause, and or if you'd like to do, if someone would like to take that on as a research, I don't mind going through a clinical trial and finding an alternative to that radical surgery.
Okay, let me talk a little bit about this tumor, because this is something most of the audience has never heard of, all right? The real name of this is a pulmonary sclerosing pneumocytoma, a PSP, okay? Rare tumor, and you're right, 5 to 1 in women. Five of these for every man, or five in, let's see, how do I say that again? 5 women will get this for each man that does, so it is, you know, far more common in women than in men, usually over age 50, you're right. This used to be called a pulmonary sclerosing hemangioma, because it's actually an epithelial, kind of a blood vessel precursor tumor. It's a primitive epithelial cell that is supposed to grow into the blood vessels. The little tiny capillaries that are supposed to exchange the carbon dioxide for oxygen within your lung. And they go awry in their growth, usually around menopause, 50 and up, as the estrogen, the anti-inflammatory effect of the estrogen levels are dropping. The inflammatory process seems to trigger the growth of these tumors. There is not a therapy other than removing the thing. So, you know, I'm afraid your surgeons agree with me, or in this case, I agree with them, since they're the experts, and I'm just the old reformed country doctor who, you know, knows about half an inch deep of a lot of different stuff. Nothing we're going to do is going to impact this thing at this point. You know, maybe had your endocrine support been maintained as it was declining in your late 30s and 40s, maybe this would have been put off. It might not have triggered its growth at this point in your life, but we are where we are. Your estrogen and progesterone are quite low. Your growth factors are low. You've got a lot more inflammation in your body now than you had in your younger years. And this thing is there now. The only thing we can do is get rid of it. So, but, you know, feel free to keep your appointment. Let's take a look at where you are. When is your surgery scheduled for, or is it scheduled yet? Has it just been recommended, or have they scheduled it? What's the situation?
Well, they gave me the option to either have the surgery or to monitor the tumor. So my oncologist is monitoring it. She recommended once a year with a CT scan.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like it's real big, and it doesn't sound like they think it's going to be an aggressive version. That's all good news. Okay. Because if they're willing to just watch it once a year with a CT scan that says we are not in crisis mode, there's nothing we have to do right away. I like that. That's very reassuring. So go ahead and make your appointment, get your evaluation done, And if nothing else, you know, let's see how fit and strong and healthy we can get you, how robust we can get your immune system, and how well we can get you healing and repairing tissue, so that if and or when they decide they want to go in and surgically remove this thing, we'll have you tuned up so you heal as quickly and robustly as possible. So your recovery from that surgery would be much, much robust than it would be right now. Does that sound like a reasonable plan?
I'm sorry?
I said, does that sound like a reasonable plan?
Oh, of course. Yes, thank you so much. And, you know, the surgeons, he is willing to have surgery on me any time that I say so. So, you know, the surgeons don't see any reason to wait. You know, they
sure.
say it's big enough that they could do robotic surgery on it. But I just thought maybe I'd give your clinic one more chance. I mean,
yeah.
give the medical
sure.
community one more chance and go to your clinic and see if there's some other alternative besides that radical
well, surgeons,
surgery. I am concerned surgeon, about.
Surgeons do surgery, all right? They think surgery. They live surgery. For a surgeon, surgery is the only real way to solve a problem. Okay, the surgeon's motto is when in doubt, whack it out, all right?
Okay.
So I kind of like to get the oncologist input, because the oncologist is the one who is expert in how fast these things grow and what kind of problems they tend to cause. And so getting the surgeon and the oncologist talking together, so you get a viewpoint of someone who is not itching to cut something out, all right?
Oh, well, then, the oncologist never heard of it. So we provided...
Wait a minute. I've heard of it and the oncologist hasn't? Wow.
No, the oncologist, she never heard of it. I got in... Because I'm up here in Snohomish County, and she never heard of it. So
okay, I might suggest a different oncologist, because if an old reformed country doctor like me has heard of it, I'm surprised the oncologist hasn't. This is not a new discovery. These tumors have been around since the 1950s. At least they have been recognized since the 1950s. So you know, the recognition of this tumor is almost as old as I am. Certainly, you know, in oncology during residency, we learned about that. They're a rare tumor. It's not something you see all the time. I think in my 45 years in medicine, you're about the third one I've heard of. Nevertheless, I have heard of them before. So, okay there.
The pathologist who did... I had to go to a second opinion pathologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and he's the one that diagnosed it and put it in writing as a pneumocytoma. So
okay.
here in this Puget Sound area, no, they didn't know.
All right. Well, suggest Jerry is right. You need a new oncologist, but that's just our opinion.
That's
but
right.
Thank you so much for your call, Betty.
Okay.
That opens up a line. If you want to get in line, call us at 800-465-8770. We have another half hour here on 770 KTTH. And then the next 2 hours between 10 and noon, we're on another station. If you want to find out where we are for the next 2 hours, starting at 10, go to our website, lmclinic.com, push on the podcast button at the top of the page, and boom, there it goes. All 4 hours will be listed right there. Plus, you will be able to have access to listen to anytime any of our previous programs. That is a valuable asset to have there. So do it at lmclinic.com. When we come back, we'll talk to Jennifer. She's got a question about when and how and why and where should I wear a mask.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Oh. All right, 35 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot. Today I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with us here again. He's almost nearly always here. He normally travels his brains out, kind of like I do, but, you know, between the two of us.
Yeah. You tend to travel for fun, and I travel for business.
Well, you do plenty of both, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and my actually going to the research labs is my fun.
Yeah, well, that's true.
True. You know, this last lady, I was just kind of sitting here reflecting. The first time I heard about one of these things, I was a resident. Yeah, way back in the 1970s, and it was an ooh-ah sort of moment. The pulmonary specialist of the hospital presented it at Grand Rounds, and none of us had ever heard of it before. We were all oohing and ahhing. And the second one was a lady who actually, I was 20-some years into medical practice, and a lady was in an automobile accident, and they found the tumor incidentally when they were doing a CT. Doing
something else,
CT yeah. scans of yeah, her chest yeah, because yeah. of her trauma. So, and now this is the third one. So in my lifetime, I have heard of, but never treated three of these things.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's pretty darn rare because it's, you know, 45 years of practice and I've never seen one. At least if I saw it, I missed it. Yeah. But it's only the third one I've ever heard of. So yeah, these are not common tumors, but the previous ones were odd enough that it triggered me to go read about them.
Sure.
Because I, you know, it's something I said, wow, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. Masks.
Masks.
Let's talk with Jennifer. She's got a question about masks. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. Hi. So I heard just the tail end of sort of your synopsis this morning about the coronavirus and
sure.
Your take on things. It was really interesting. I thought it was great. It was reassuring. But I had a question about masks because I've heard different things. And there's a doctor on the internet that's talking, and it kind of, when you talked about viruses already being in your body, mm-hmm. and she mentioned masks could be, make you more susceptible to, you know, if you're wearing a mask, make you more susceptible to the viruses that are already in your own body? And that's my first question. And then my second question is sort of what you think of that doctor, which is Dr. Mikovits, which I'm sure you've heard of. Her
yeah.
controversial a little bit.
Yes. Controversial is a polite way of putting it. First of all, masks don't make you more susceptible to diddly squat, except short, low oxygen supply if you're wearing an N95. You know, this is one of my pet peeves. When this coronavirus first hit, our government lied to us, and it was an unnecessary and transparent lie. You know, what they told us was masks don't work, so save them for people that really need them.
Right.
If they don't work, nobody needs them. You know, the doctors and the nurses don't need them if they don't work. That's crazy.
That was disturbing, actually.
That was, yeah. I mean, if you're going to tell a lie, at least make it a plausible lie. You know, I hate it when my government lies to me. We're grown-ups. Tell us the truth, okay? We don't have enough of these. We were supposed to have 100 million masks sitting in the national emergency supply. When the coronavirus hit, we only had 12 million of the 100 million we were supposed to have. Okay, because when the H1N1 virus hit us back during the Obama administration, they gave out most of the masks from the national supply, and they never rebuilt it. Say, we had 100 million, we gave away nearly 90 million of them to people, you know, to hospitals and stuff that needed them, but then they didn't buy new masks. Now, part of that is on the Obama-Biden administration. They should have replenished the mask supply. But then Mr. Trump was in office for 3 years, and he didn't do it either. All right. So everybody's at fault for that one. But the masks work. That's why the hospitals need them. The reality was we didn't have enough, and they should have simply told us the truth. Look, the hospital people need it worse than you do. Save them for the hospital people. You know, we're grown-ups. We can accept that. Come on. N95 masks are the most stringent masks around. Once you get above an N95, N95 says that it's going to filter out 95% of the particles that you're likely to breathe in. So you still got 5% of particles can get through, but you know, the only way to go above that is when you get into one of those hazmat suits with its own contained air supply. So
what's all this stuff about a mask creating other physical problems for you?
Well, the Surgeon General was really reaching it when he was explaining that. He was saying, well, you know, it makes it more likely for you to touch your face. And I said, sir, your mouth and your nose are covered. You can't touch those. The only thing around you could touch is your eyes. And I'm not aware of anything that says, if I'm wearing a mask, I'm going to touch my eyes more often.
Yeah.
That's stupid. So, yeah, you know, treat us like grown-ups. Tell us the truth. We can live with it. You know, we are not children.
Do you think, like, wearing a regular mask, like maybe just a surgical mask, do you think that...
Surgical masks help,
others?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Asia, everybody has a box of surgical masks on their counter at home throughout Asia. You go to Hong Kong, you go to Singapore, you go to Indonesia, people all, right. If they get a cold or anyone in the family has a cold, they all put on their mask and they go out. Okay.
Yeah.
Surgical masks are not as efficient as the N95, but it stops the droplets. You know, when you cough, and you've had that embarrassing experience, you start to say something and you see the spit fly out of your mouth, you know, and we all hate it when we do that, but it's part of human speech. So we're always kicking micro droplets out, and any mask, even a bandana tied around your face, will catch most of that. So you lower your risk to other people and from other people getting their spittle in your face with any kind of face covering. So anything is better than nothing. So I'd say bandana is probably your lowest level. Then a surgical mask is perfectly adequate for the vast majority of people. And if you're going to be exposed to a high virus environment, the N95 is the way to go. The problem with the N95 is because it decreases airflow dramatically. If you're wearing an N95, you cannot do much exercise. Okay. And, you know, I like to be active. So I don't wear a mask at all when I'm running. If I'm out, I'm going to run 3 or 4 miles. I need every bit of oxygen I can get, but I'm also not within 6, 8, 10 feet of anybody. Usually I'm 20, 30, 100 feet away from people.
Right. So if you go for a walk outside, you don't think you need to wear a mask.
No, we don't wear masks.
My goodness,
my wife and child
I didn't think so.
We walk from home down to the skateboard park in downtown Kirkland, and my daughter rides her scooter, and she's not wearing a mask. She's wearing a helmet and knee pads and gloves because that's where she's likely to get hurt. Right? No one is on that scooter with her. Now I carry 390 N95s in my iPad bag. I carry 3 in my light coat pocket, and I carry 3 in my car. Okay. I'm a mask hog. I've got 9. And so that if we're going to go in a store, we put on our mask.
Of course.
You know, but I'm in no danger in the car with my wife and daughter, and, except for auto accidents. But if we're going to go in and we buy groceries, then we put our mask on and we go in the store and we wear our mask while we're in the store, and we come out of the store, we take our mask off. So, you know, be sensible, be reasonable.
Okay.
So there you go.
What do you think in general of what Dr. Mikovits says in general? Do you completely discredit her for everything she says, or do you think she's...
No, I think she's wrong about this. I think she's wrong about this, okay? That's all. So, you know, I mean, I try to be as gentle with my colleagues as I can. But on points in which I disagree, I say I disagree. Doesn't make them bad people. It just means I disagree. Okay?
It's a fine line as to how to respond. I'm reminded of A.W. Tozer, who's just a hero, personal hero of mine in the church, anyway. He said, too often, not wanting to offend anyone, we end up reaching no one. And so your job, Jerry, is not to go... to the extreme.
I speak,
but you have to.
I speak the truth as I see it, recognizing that I am a fallible human being and I have been wrong many times in my life, and probably will be at times in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I can think of three times in my life I've been wrong.
Well, I can
once
point
at age
out,
four.
I'll
at,
point out
once,
several
once
of I'm, your deficiencies, and you can point out mine.
Oh, ma'am. But yeah, you, keep your mask.
You don't want to go
use
any,
it when you're
any further, though. On okay,
I'm not. I'm not going to attack.
Not really.
I'm not going to attack anybody. That's not my. It's just not the way I live my life. Okay, I'll speak the truth as I see it. I let other people speak the truth as they see it. And in the contest of ideas, I am convinced that eventually the truth will out. So I leave it at that.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, my dear. Bye-bye.
Have yourself a good day there. We're glad you called. Okay, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back for the final section of this two-hour program, we'll come back. And John has a question about blood pressure. David, with our second question this morning about Parkinson, so that'll be interesting.
Okay.
And then Ernie has a question about fasting. We haven't talked about fasting
for a
little bit. And there's different kinds of fastings, different techniques. Really quite fascinating, this topic of fasting. So don't go far. We'll be back. All right. Quick reminder, we're not pushing this super hard today because we've only got 28 of the free health analysis appointments, but they are there. They are appointments for in the first 2 weeks of June because they're all gone for May, and that's sad, but it's okay. So in June, between the three clinics, there's about 9 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. 28 altogether when we started the program at 8 o'clock this morning. So half of them might be available right now. So go to our website, lmclinic.com, and grab one of them for goodness sakes. It's the free health analysis appointment. You get the two free tests. One of them is a blood test and then the in-body test. So two free tests to help you determine what some of your basic health risks are as you are aging. Critical that you do that. If you don't measure, you don't know. Let us do the measuring for you. Then you also get two masks that you can take home with you, and you can also get $100 of our free longevity supplements. So there's never been a better time to get serious about your health, and there's never been a better time to grab one of our free health analysis appointments. I hope you'll do that. Again, we almost need to apologize. We have not that many left because they keep getting snatched up. But grab one if you can at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Or you can call Monday morning at 866-86-YOUNG. All right, let us go to Tacoma and talk to John. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. First off, thank you, Dr. Mixon, for your service to this country. My question is on blood pressure medications. For years, I've been on lisinopril.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 5 weeks ago, I went in for a normal lab work, the doctor calls me back the next day, and my potassium level was high, 5.8. Mm-hmm. So he said he's going to take me off the lisinopril because for the past couple of years when I've gotten lab work, my potassium has come back high. They had me go get retested, and generally it would come back below the 5.3, which I believe is the high, you know, and the high point of
mm-hmm.
that.
Sure.
So it's 5.8 this time. He says, I'm taking you off lisinopril, because I guess it can tend to make your potassium levels high. So he puts me on, I believe it's called amlodipine with a water pill. And I just didn't feel good on that. And And generally, when I was on, you know, I would check my blood pressure in the morning times when I'd get up. And it was nothing for it to be, I don't know, 116 over 69, you know, somewhere in those ranges. Now, okay. When I do it, you know, I'm like 133 over 82, you know, somewhere in those ranges. And I just didn't feel good on the amlodipine. So okay. When he first put me on it, 2 weeks later, I went and got retested. Potassium was 5.4. So he says, I'm keeping you on lodipine. I know you don't like it. So I went and got two weeks later, I went and got retested again. It was 5.0, the potassium. So he says, okay, you're in a safer range. He says, I know you don't like the amlodipine. I'm going to put you. So he puts me on Losartan this time with the water pill. And it's kind of sort of the same thing, my readings. You know, like this morning I get up, it's 129 over 82. So my question is do those meds, I assume they maybe some work for some people, others will work better on you. Or I don't know if I'm making a big deal out of this blood pressure thing. I kind of like it low. I felt better. So that's kind of my question about the meds.
Okay. Well, you've kind of been on a mix here. You know, lisinopril is an ACE inhibitor. It impacts the hormones that change the way the blood flow to your kidneys are. It's also a vasodilator, opens up the arteries. And it's a good drug. It doesn't usually raise potassium in most people, but it's one of those things has been reported, although it's pretty rare. The biggest downside with lisinopril is cough. A significant number of people get a cough, and a chronic dry cough is the number one reason to go off that drug. So then he switched you over to a different class of drugs, a calcium channel blocker. That's what the amlodipine is. And that works by allowing the calcium inflow into the smooth muscle, alters it so that the muscle will relax, which dilates the blood vessels. Those are actually pretty good drugs still. They don't impact potassium, so that's why your potassium was coming down on that. But fatigue and drowsiness are fairly common in calcium channel blockers. They also and in some people, they'll slow the heart rate down. So then he switched you over to Losartan, which is an angiotensin receptor antagonist. So that, you know, the first one lowers the level of angiotensin. That was the lisinopril. And this one, you go ahead and make the angiotensin, but the receptor in the blood vessel gets blocked so that it's as though you don't have as much angiotensin there. This one is probably as safe as the lisinopril, should not have the cough, and should be safer for your potassium. So although it does alter kidney function to some extent, because the receptors to that hormone made in the kidneys is being blocked. So you know you're kind of going around the metabolic pathway here, one after the other. How are you feeling on the Losartan? Is that one causing issues for you, or?
I guess I feel okay. I guess what gets me is the when I get up in the morning times and my blood pressure, you know, maybe I'm getting too worked up. Anyway, it's always 120 over 80 now, and it used to never be.
Yeah.
So I feel okay on it, I think. The amlodipine, when I first went on it, wow, I mean, it's like, geez, this is a different deal. So I guess I feel somewhat okay on the Losartan. I guess I was wondering maybe what is this, you know, they all have their side effects, I guess. What is the...
Everything,
I think I always felt good on lisinopril.
Okay. What else are you doing to lower your blood pressure? What are you doing in the way of diet and lifestyle?
Well, I exercise every day.
Good.
I walk for a couple of miles. I might jog for a half a mile. I do some stretches, lift these little weights. I do that every day. I only weigh about 150 pounds. For diet, I try to watch, the white breads and the carbs and sugars and, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let me make a recommendation. Yeah. First of all, push the exercise a little more. But then go online and look up the DASH diet, D-A-S-H, all capital letters, okay? DASH, D-A-S-H. It stands for Dietary Approach to Stop Hypertension. It's not a diet anybody's getting rich off. It was actually developed in university studies designed specifically to lower blood pressure. And what they found is that on the DASH diet, about one-third 35 to 40% of the people that use that diet and stick with it that have mild to moderate blood pressure problems can go off medications.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay. So just the dietary change helps more than a third of the people get off their blood pressure medication. And yours is in that range in which the DASH diet has shown to be pretty effective. So go on, D-A-S-H. And they, there will be a lot of different sites where you can get copies of the DASH diet, things to read about. Give that a try for several months because you may find your pressure comes down enough. You might even be able to stop your meds.
Are there any supplements in your store that, are good for blood pressure or?
Yes.
That you recommend or anything?
Well, magnesium. I mean, your potassium is already plenty high. But magnesium is the other supplement that is commonly used to lower blood pressure. Magnesium relaxes muscle, including smooth muscle in the arteries.
Got to go, John, but thank you for the call. And by the way, you can get magnesium and all of our other supplements on our website, lmclinic.com. By the way, we've never really pushed the fact that we have a store online. We really ought to do that because
we made these for our patients, not for the world.
Well, yeah, but the world can have them. The world is lmclinic.com for crying out loud. Okay. Hey, thank you. Don't forget to go to our website, lmclinic.com, to make one of the free health analysis appointments. For goodness sakes, don't procrastinate any longer. Grab one. lmclinic.com. Join us for the next 2 hours if you can find us. On our website, push the podcast button. You'll find us for the next 2 hours.